This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
As deficit-cutting proposals take shape, what's the difference between $2 trillion and $4 trillion in cuts?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. President Obama will meet today with lawmakers from both parties in search of a deal to raise the nation's debt limit in exchange for trillions of dollars in deficit cuts. We are just 3 weeks away from August 2nd, which the Treasury Department says is the deadline to avoid a national default. For more, let's turn to Mark Zandi. He is chief economist with Moody's Analytics, and he's with us live. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Mark, we're hearing about these different options for deficit cutting, $2 trillion versus $4 trillion. What's the difference between that? How would those affect ordinary people?
Well, tax revenue increases. The $2 to $3 trillion that the House Republicans would like to see in the deal are spending cuts, government spending cuts. That would have to include cuts to entitlement programs like Medicare and Social Security. The president wants a bigger deal, $4 trillion, but to get there, you need more tax revenue, either through higher tax rates or through lower tax expenditures. Those are the credits and deductions in the tax code.
And do you think that we'll end up with a deal that does include tax increases or not?
Ultimately, I mean, I think to get to something you might call fiscal sustainability, we're going to need both the government spending cuts and tax revenue increases. It's very questionable whether we'll get that as part of the debt ceiling debate that's ongoing right now. We may not get it this go-around, but eventually we'll have to get it.
And what about the timing? We're getting very close now to this August 2nd deadline. Do you think that they'll reach a deal?
I hope so. They need to. I mean, at the very worst, I think they'll raise the debt ceiling just enough to kick the can down the road a couple, 3 months so the debate can continue through the summer into the fall. But it would be really nice if they could come to a deal, a $4 trillion deal. That would be very good for the economy and really send us on our way.
Mark Zandi, chief economist with Moody's Analytics. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, now to the European debt crisis, where it's all about Italy today. Leaders are meeting to talk about new signs that Italy could be the next shoe to drop. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more now from London.
Italy has one of the world's most heavily indebted governments and perhaps the most scandal-ridden prime minister. But until last week, investors kept those two thoughts separate. They put their trust in the highly respected finance chief, a former visiting professor at Oxford. But Prime Minister Berlusconi has fallen out badly with his finance minister. Last week, Berlusconi sneered, he thinks he's such a genius. Confidence has been hit. Government borrowing costs have jumped. Simon Tilford of the Centre for European Reform says there'll be big trouble if Italy needs help from its European partners.
Italy's a very big economy. It's the third biggest economy in the Eurozone. It's something like probably 10 times the size of the Irish economy, for example. And they couldn't afford to bail Italy out.
If Italy does need a bailout, it could really be crunch time for the euro. The crisis could climax this fall. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down across Europe and Asia this morning, about 0.5% lower in London, as we officially start earnings season here in the U.S. Today we'll hear from Alcoa, which is expected to announce strong profits thanks to an increase in demand for aluminum from car and airplane makers. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow dropped 62 points to close at 12,657.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at Manta.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success, on the web at farmers.com.
In one of the largest cities in Syria today, there are reports of some of the heaviest violence since the government launched a crackdown on dissent a couple of months ago. So far, about 10,000 Syrians have fled to refugee camps in neighboring Turkey. And as Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports from Turkey, the costs are piling up.
When there aren't any refugees, the population of Yayladağ is a little more than 6,000 people. It's a dusty border town. It has one main drag, which is lined with places like tea houses and small shops. You don't see a lot of refugees around because they're mostly closed in camps on the edges of town, but everybody knows they're here. Mehmet Aktay grew up in Yayladağ, and a couple of weeks ago, he got a job collecting trash in one of the camps, a job he says will probably double his income.
It's a filthy job dealing with trash. It causes sickness. But at least we have a job.
Until the refugees came here, he only worked occasionally. He would drive a tractor on other people's farms. But he's still worried about the Syrians being here. He says the town already has water shortages, and he wonders if Yayladağ can actually handle twice as many people. This bakery, which is on one end of town, has gotten some extra business because of the refugees. Talib Ferengi is the baker. He's putting flatbread after flatbread into the oven while he talks. He says people from the surrounding villages have collected money to buy bread for the refugees. It's happened a few times, and it's been a nice little bonus for the bakery. But Ferengi wishes he could sell more to the camps. The Turkish Red Crescent, which runs them, actually trucks in most of the supplies for the camps, including bread.
Of course, it would be better if the Red Crescent bought from us, but they don't buy from here. They don't buy anything from the local merchants.
His coworker, who's rolling out the dough, interrupts him to say, as if there were no bakers here, no groceries here. The mayor of Yayladağ says he's trying to find ways to help the refugees that would also let the town benefit more from the camps. But the unrest in Syria is causing other economic problems for the mayor to deal with. Yayladağ used to get a lot of its money from border traffic, and that traffic has nearly stopped since the uprisings in Syria began this spring. In Yayladağ, Turkey, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally to Australia, where a key part of winemaking has been outsourced to a dog. A bloodhound named Louisa Bell has been trained to sniff out a bad barrel and detect bottles that have gone bad. Her owners say her nose is 2,000 times more sensitive than a human nose, but she's not a fan of actually drinking the wine. She prefers a bowl of water and some dog food. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Breakneck growth? Yep. Signs of new money everywhere? Got that. Total sensory overload? Oh, yeah,
The Ferrari's locked in the showroom.
Let's turn around for a minute and look at that Nike store. This is good. They've got Maseratis here, too.
What does it make? Where am I? Nobody wants to come and explain it to me.
Can you say culture shock? I'm Kai Rizdal. China all week, courtesy of yours truly. It starts next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.